Hello, wine enthusiasts. I'm happy to say that this podcast is sponsored by Bank of Marin. Across Sonoma and Napa counties, their local expert bankers will help you find the right financing solutions for your wine-related business. Thanks for listening as we head into the Vaca Mountain Range above Napa Valley. Chapelet has been making wine from their Pritchard Hill estate since 1967. That means last year they celebrated their 50th anniversary. I was determined to make my way up there to hear their story and see their uniquely designed winery and tasting space. And last week I finally did so. I made the trek east of Silverado Trail on Highway 128 to meet with owner, board member, and vice president, Dominic Chapelet. After spending time on that scenic, winding road, I asked Dominic how his parents managed to find that hillside property back in 1966.
It all came about when my father finally made the decision to come to the Napa Valley and make wine. He had to find the best place to do it. And Andre Chelichev at that time was really known as the best winemaker in the area, the most highly regarded palate. So he went to the top of the heap and asked him, where would you go to make the best wine you could? And his advice got my father to this piece of property. The advice was, I think I could make better wine if I could get more grapes from the hillsides.
So was Andre in a sense saying, if you do it, I'll buy from you?
No. No, I don't. I'm sure he would love to have. I'm sure that he would love to have bought wine from us. But from the beginning, we've never sold any grapes off from here. We've always just kept everything that we have.
That's kind of gutsy to track down Andre Chelichev and ask him, as a novice, where should I plant grapes and make wine?
Well, I think my father was pretty clear that he wasn't going to do this halfway. He had just sold everything he had to put into this crazy dream of his, and there was no harm in trying. And, you know, as our mothers always say, there's no harm asking a question.
It's an interesting story you told me about your father, and nowadays you hear these kinds of stories happening more often, but back in the mid to late 60s, it wasn't something you hear very often, where someone was in one business and doing well. Yeah. And decided, you know, I want to make wine, and took a leap of faith.
Well, as you might imagine, I get asked the question often, and it always surprises me a little bit when I'm thinking about it and answering it, the guts that it took to do that. He had a successful business. He had gone into business with his best friend and partner right out of college, and they got lucky and they did very well. And you might think, okay, you've got five kids, you've got a nice house, and you know the business is doing well, you've probably done all you need to do. Now you wait till retirement.
And he was in Los Angeles.
He was in Los Angeles and was building up a cellar with some great wines in it. And that was the thing that was really exciting for him. His own business, while doing well, and he was happy and proud of it, it wasn't his passion. Wine had become his passion. But, you know, to take that and then that huge leap of saying, okay, now it's going to be my life, and I'm going to make wine. And I've never made wine, but I'm going to make world-class wine.
And at the time, I mean, even Robert Mondavi had just built his winery, so he hadn't even developed his reputation yet. So he was definitely a forethinker.
Yeah, and this area was the one area in California where he felt he could make wines that were going to rival those wines that he had in his cellar, you know, the Mouton and the Latour and the, you know, the big wine houses that, you know, everybody was aware of for all these years. But California was just on the brink of coming into its own as far as being recognized in the world, and really, really before being recognized in the world. You know, there are people who knew that there were some nice wines coming out of here, but
it wasn't until like 10 years later that they really made the impact with the Paris tasting.
Absolutely. And, you know, all of that was very fortuitous that he found one of the greatest properties, I think, that has ever been found in the Napa Valley. And we know that because of all these great wines we've been able to make. And then, of course, because so many of our neighbors now have flocked to this area to, you know, to be in the same area where they can get the best grapes to make the best wine.
So. You're telling me that your dad even considered going to France to do it, which is really gutsy.
Yeah, I think that there was a moment where he realized, okay, I want to do this. Where do I go to make these wines? And you know, again, based on what he had in his cellar and looking at where these wines are made, I think the first thought was, okay, well, how do I get my family to France? And then he started to be a little more realistic for himself and realized there might be a little more property available somewhere in Northern California.
So when your folks, Molly and Don Chapelet, moved up here to Pritchard Hill, you mentioned they had five children, but I read there was also one on the way, and that was you.
Yes, I was born up here, so I'm the only real native, and the rest of them are all just interlopers. So I was being built the same year that the winery was being built, and making it just that much harder for my mom, I'm sure, but she usually had a smile on her face in the old pictures, so I guess they were enjoying it.
What a playground you had growing up.
And still do. You know, today is an amazing day out there in February where maybe it should be raining, but I'm glad it isn't because it's just so beautiful, and I spent so much time exploring this property, and now my kids get to do it. So very, very grateful to my father for having chosen this spot for us to grow up in.
It's such a large property. Thankfully, you had a mini bike.
Yes, I'm not sure my mom was too happy about it, but somehow I think my brother convinced my dad that that would be a good thing to do. I got to cruise all around the property on an old Honda 70 and get myself into a little bit of trouble, but not too much usually.
Probably a few scars from that, huh?
Yeah, you know, the knees and the elbows got a little banged up, and but I always got home for dinner, so that was good.
So we mentioned 1967, which means just last year you celebrated the 50th anniversary here at Chapelet.
Absolutely, and it gave us, as you might imagine, a lot of pause for thought and, you know, searching back in all of our own memories, and then, of course, the opportunity to delve into so many old wines in our library and my father's library of wines.
Oh, my gosh, that must have been something.
It was, and it continues to be, and, you know, some of those early vintages are still just shining so brightly and, you know, just a testament to, again, this location, the winemakers we've had over the years, and you know, perfect spot to make these great wines.
I'm sorry to hear that your dad didn't make it to the 50th.
Not quite. He passed away in May of 2016, but he had some very clear direction for us. He said, "Well, just keep making more 100-point wines."
Well, that'll be the easy task, huh?
Yeah.
Who was the early winemaker in the first number of years?
Our first winemaker that we had was Philip Tonnier, and he was with us until 1973, I believe. And then since then, we've gone through a few winemakers over the years, Joe Cofaro and Tony Soder and Kathy Corison. And now we have Philip Titus, who has been with us since 1990. So
he's the anchor now.
Yeah, he's been with us for a little while, and we're going to keep him forever, I think.
How he makes wonderful wine. I had his brother Eric on my show last year, and Philip is making some wonderful wines for the family's label, Titus Vineyards.
Absolutely. And for many, many years, Titus wines were all made up here at Chapelet.
Right.
And, you know, they had some family vineyards that they sourced from and others that they purchased some fruit from. And I think 2 years ago, they completed their own winery. And so they've got a facility of their own. So Philip consults on that one, but he's ours. We keep him up here on a daily basis.
This is one of the few industries where you can share an employee with basically what is a competitor,
yeah.
You know, and it's not frowned upon. Winemakers move around quite a bit.
Yeah, not at all. The Valley has always been very giving and sharing of knowledge and time and resources. It was certainly the case in the early years for my parents. You know, they didn't have a facility in those first couple of years that they were up here. And so Robert Mondavi said, "Oh, come down here and you can press your fruit out here." And Joe Heitz said, "Well, we've got a spot for you to if you need to do the fermentations at our place." And then the Davies said, "Well, you know, we've got some empty caves if you want to store the boxes once you've got them in bottle." And that's the way it's continued to be in the Valley. We still see that to this day. It's harder to do with 500 new wineries up here than it was when there were only 32 of us. But still very generous. And, you know, there have been tons of winemakers. I say tons because I can't even think of how many assistant winemakers we've had over the years, but that have gone on to, you know, do great things on their own right. And we're still in touch with so many of them. And, you know, we're all happy for each other's successes.
I am respectful of what a tight-knit community the wine industry is. He's Dominic Chapelet of Napa's Hillside Chapelet Family Winery. He shared some of their delightful wines with me. The signature Cabernet Sauvignon, which was a 2015. And though young, it was beautifully bold and rich, which indicates it will definitely hold up for decades. He also offered the elegant Estate Cabernet Sauvignon, their top of the line, which is the best of their vineyards. And I believe he said it's a club member exclusive. And his team surprised us with a 2009 Las Piedras Bordeaux blend. It offered a hearty expression of the rugged terrain of the Pritchard Hill estate. And as we started the tour of their facility and vineyard, he offered a bright Chenin Blanc. Very enjoyable. You know, the Chapelet wines have consistently received the highest praise from critics. They're sought after by collectors. And aside from their winemaker, Philip Style, their Hillside Pritchard Estate is a canvas that offers the wine unique complexity and character.
It is. And over these last 50 years, we have gotten to know this property very, very clearly and in detail. And so much of that comes from our vineyard manager, Dave Pirio, who is out there, as you might imagine, day in and day out with an amazing crew, knowing what this property can do and all of its, you know, little intricacies and upgrading all the time. We farm 100% organically. You know, we do everything we can to make the best fruit available to make these wines, and you can't do it without a great location. So we're just trying to make the best of what we were already given when we found this property.
He's probably out there today, isn't he, with that crew up there?
He is. I saw Dave this morning, actually, right before you pulled up, and said hi to him. And the guys are out there doing their second round of pruning, and you know, they know this property, every vine, intimately. They touch every vine by hand 12 times a year. And if you look around the property and really think about that, that's quite a bit.
It's almost daunting to consider that.
It really is. And they really know every vine. And it's, you know, their whole lives and my whole life really revolve around this property. It's the one business that we have. And it's what we get the opportunity to share with others. And luckily we have so many employees that have been with us for so long. You know, it's really an extended family.
And the winery puts a lot of effort into being thoughtful stewards of the land. And I wanted to go through a quick list here of some of the amazing things that you've strived for and continue to do. Chapelet's entire Pritchard Hill vineyard was certified organic in 2012. In 2008, you installed 20,000 square feet of solar panels that now offsets 100% of the winery's electricity bill. That's amazing. An extensive composting program. You reclaim a lot of the water from the winery and use it for irrigation. And even your vineyard equipment runs on 50% biodiesel. So you are very thoughtful in what you're doing here.
Well, it's, you know, without this land, we don't have anything. And we realized that early on. So we do try to do everything we can to maintain a sustainable practice in everything that we do. So when we have the opportunity to take a leap forward in technology that parallels that sustainability, we've done it. And, you know, the water reclamation is a huge part of it, because water is probably our most precious resource other than the grapes. And without the water, we don't have the grapes. So every piece of that hopefully keeps us going far into the future, and hopefully we're planning for that in the best way.
You were telling me too earlier when we were walking around that the soil is now actually better than it was 50 years ago.
It is, and I think that, you know, if you think about the stories of the Dust Bowl in Oklahoma and, you know, over farming areas and taking all of the nutrients out of them, and then the difference between that and being able to know that you've got more microbes, more you know, positive attributes to your soil 50 years later after farming that whole time than you did when you started, it's really pretty incredible. And that, you know, comes from what you were mentioning, the composting and the...
Go ahead and take your drink. I know you keep...
Oh, no, I'm constantly smelling the wine. It's a beautiful wine that we've got here. We're tasting a 2009 Las Piedras, which is our red blend. And I got surprised because I asked some of our staff to put together some nice wines for us, and they gave me a 2009. So I'm loving it.
You are. He is truly loving it. Of course, the Bordeaux varieties are essential, but you also have Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, and a lot of Napa wineries bottled Chardonnay, but you don't see too many reaching out to the Pinot Noir, and you're reaching way over to Sonoma County to put that into your portfolio.
Absolutely, and you know, we've been actually making wines that have been coming from Sonoma County for quite some time, and we were doing it as a custom crush facility for a couple other wineries or people who didn't have wineries who needed to make some wine out of those grapes that they had. And now we have our own label called Sonoma Lobe that we make 100% from Sonoma based fruit. So we get the opportunity to have our toe in both valleys, and it's really exciting to be able to hit, you know, both sides of the ridge and see the differences and really explore, you know, the Burgundian varieties and the Bordeaux varieties that we know so well here. So Pinot Noir has been a great addition to our portfolio.
And it's gained so much in popularity over the last 10 years or so, even 20 years.
Absolutely.
And why not have it in your portfolio?
Absolutely. And I think going forward, we'll see more of that and more very specific vineyard and block designate Pinot Noirs that we're really excited about doing. So, you know, always expanding our profile as far as our love of wine will never stop. And you're always learning as a winemaker and as a winery owner. And, you know, every time I get the chance to try something I haven't tried, I leap at it. So Pinot Noir, while not new to the world, is something we are really loving being a part of.
We should also mention your Chenin Blanc, which is nothing new. It's been here since before you guys were here.
Yes.
And we tried that when I first arrived. And, man, that had such a bright flavor to it. It was a beautiful wine. That's another one in your portfolio.
Yeah, and the Chenin Blanc was one that was here, planted in 1964, right before we bought the property. And luckily, we had a winemaker who was not afraid of it to start off with and didn't just treat it with no respect and put it into a jug, which was what was happening with so much of the Chenin Blanc in the late 60s and early 70s. But we decided to make a dry Chenin, and it's been a favorite of ours for so many years, and now we only have 3.5 acres of Chenin Blanc vines left, so we make less than 1,000 cases, and most of it is sold right here, but it's still a huge favorite. It's a great way to start off any summer evening, certainly.
Yeah, it's beautiful wine, and you indicated that your mother was the one who was responsible for making sure that you kept those 3 acres.
Yes, thank you for reminding me, otherwise I'd be in deep trouble. Yeah, my mom was very clear that Chenin Blanc would always be part of the Chapelet portfolio. So when we had to tear out those old vines that were just not producing anymore, she was quite clear that we needed to find a new spot for some Chenin Blanc. So now we have those 3.5 acres right behind the winery, and they're really producing some amazing fruit.
I always enjoy when you go into a winery's tasting room or even like a barrel room where we are here, and you see artwork around, and we are surrounded by canvas artwork, and it gives it such a little more depth to the whole experience. And I'm guessing your mother probably has something to do with this too.
She does. She has been you know, the basis for the look and feel of Chapelet right from the beginning, and art has been a huge part of all of our lives because of my mother. So whether it's canvas art or art in the gardens or how the vineyards are laid out or the rock walls that are made, art has been a huge part of what we do. So much of what we're seeing here in the winery is done by family or by the extended family. The wife of Philip, our winemaker, his wife Laura, has some paintings in here. My mother's assistant, Julia, has some beautiful paintings in here, and we have some art from some of the well-known painters of the 1960s in Los Angeles that decorate the walls in the front office. So, you know, art is goes hand in hand, of course, with winemaking, and winemaking, I think, is half science, half art.
Definitely.
And, you know, it's you can't get away from it, and we wouldn't want to. It's part of what we do.
Right. And another thing they're determined to do is to keep the winery family run. With five siblings and now some grandchildren, that indicates the possibilities of decades of family success in the future.
Yeah, so my five siblings, they're all older than I am, and from time to time there has been involvement of each of us directly at the winery. Cyril, my brother, is the one who has been here the longest, really dedicating himself to our winery since the 80s. I've been here coming up on 15 years, so I'm pretty established as being part of the workings of the winery. And but over time, you know, my sister Alexa has worked as a cellar hand here for a couple harvests. My sister Carissa is our legal counsel. My brother John Mark was the one who really pushed us to do the solar panels and do the organic farming. And my sister Alicia has, you know, been a huge part of the art initiatives up here, and whether that's, you know, building new rock walls or giving us our art labels for our wine. So all of us have a really deep interest in this winery and keeping it going into the future, and we all have to come at it with our own strengths, but I think we've been able to find a good balance in doing that.
Well, and that was my next question, is do you anticipate this going into the future? Because with these grandkids, the legacy can continue.
That's the hope, and we'll see if...
No one will be forced, though, will they?
There's not going to be any forced, but we want them to, you know, to love this property and know that if they've got something to contribute to this business, that we welcome them. So hopefully, as they grow and they look at what else is out there in the world, and then they look back to this beautiful property and this amazing business, they see it might not be a bad place to wind up. I certainly did, and I'm glad that I had the opportunity to.
How is it with five brothers and sisters that you, the baby, ended up being the CEO?
Well, I'm not quite at the CEO level yet. I'm vice president, but there probably will come a time when I take on that title, because, you know, we all transition into next levels of our lives. But really, it came about because there was a need for what I was doing here, to do some, you know, marketing and work out in the market itself. And so, you know, I found myself in this position because it was something I loved to do and there was an opportunity. And so from those early days of working in the winery and then working out, you know, going to restaurants and knocking on doors and selling wine, all of that came together, and now I'm up here full time.
This winery facility you have, which is also part of your tasting room, is modern and beautiful, and yet this is what was originally built here back in the 60s.
It was, and, you know, there was a long process as to figuring out what type of building would work here for us. And, again, my mother's influence was a great part of that because of her art connections in Los Angeles. She reached out to her friends and said, you know, we're in this beautiful new area, but we want to build a building that will give us all the functionality and still not feel like it's a sore thumb, like it's intruding on this beautiful landscape. So we ended up with this incredible facility, which is if you look at it from the outside, it's a three-sided pyramid. If you look at it from Google Earth, it looks like a triangle, and that's where our symbol comes from on our labels. And it's the really interesting thing that you don't truly understand unless you walk into the winery, is that it looks smaller on the outside, and then it expands on the inside. And that's a hard thing to do architecturally, but we seem to have done it. And I think it will always feel modern and beautiful. It's really an amazing design.
It's two levels, but even from the outside, I mean, it looks like it's sleek. It's got a low profile, but it's got a lot of space in here.
Well, certainly a lot of space on the ground floor. There is a small office space upstairs where all of our tasting associates go to do their computer work. And, you know, the thing that we found when we realized that we had run out of space in this wide open floor space here in the winery was that you can't just add a wall to a pyramid. So we do have another facility that is right next door that we call our Barrel Shea, and that's about a 15,000 square foot barrel facility and very modern and beautiful. But again, we made it as low profile as possible so it would blend in with this beautiful building, and I think it's done pretty well.
Well, Dominic, I certainly appreciate you hosting me today, and what a great experience it is, and I'm sorry it took me so long to get up here.
Well, it takes everybody a long time to get up here, so don't feel bad. We just feel grateful if you actually find your way. We're a bit hidden, and you have to pay attention to get here, but I think it's worth the trip.
That's what makes it special.
I think so. We can hide out here and go wine tasting in the vineyard anytime you want.
Well, I definitely will take him up on that offer. Dominic Chapelet, I sure enjoyed my time at the Chapelet Estate, and do look forward to going back. You might want to take a nice drive up into the hills above Napa Valley and visit sometime. You'll love the wine. Their website is chapelet.com. That's chapelet.com. If you're listening to this on iTunes, Stitcher, or another podcast provider, you can find more interviews and interesting content on my website, onthewineroad.com. I'm on Facebook as On the Wine Road and Instagram and Twitter at JD Wine Road. If you'd like to join my wine community, look for me on Patreon. There I provide compelling tidbits you won't find elsewhere, and I give you tempting incentives as a patron. That's patreon.com/onthewineroad. Patreon is Patreon. Thank you for your continued support and keeping me company on the wine road.